everybody, to the Non-Grown Knife Nerds podcast, episode 2. Today we have Chase from Instagram on here, as well as James, and we're going to be doing another podcast with different topics. We do not have Tyler on here because he was not available. So, is everybody here?
Yes.
Okay. So, first, on my topic sheet, I have what everybody EDC'd today. So, I EDC'd the Kershaw Link. What about you, James?
I have the ZT-0450 and the CRKT Minimalist.
And what about you, Chase?
I have a Chris Reeve Small Sabenza.
You got that in the trade for the Umnumzon, right?
Yeah, and the Domino. Yeah. And the money.
And the money. Did anybody get anything new? I know, well, you got the Chris Reeve and the Domino. What about you, James?
No, I haven't got anything new recently. I found a few knives while cleaning out my drawers, but...
I haven't gotten anything new in, like, a month and a half or 2 months, really.
That's depressing.
Other than, like, a Dremel and a belt sander and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the introduction of the podcast. This is a twice-a-month podcast-ish, because it's been, like, 3 weeks since the last podcast, and this is only episode 2. So it's not particularly, accurate, but it should be good. So I wanted to ask, how does everybody pronounce? I pronounce it Tanto. Do you pronounce it Tonto or Tanto?
Tanto.
Tanto.
Okay. It's Tanto. Tanto just sounds
It does. It sounds like a Lone Ranger character. And
yes.
If you want to go find the podcast and comment about it, plug my YouTube channel real quick. I'll have it linked. It's Blackwood Blades on YouTube, and you can comment down there whether you pronounce it Tonto or Tanto. Tanto being spelled the correct way and Tonto being spelled T-A-W-N-T-O.
Or you could DM and follow us on Instagram and ask us.
Yeah,
definitely.
So a quick shout out. I am Blackwood_Blades on Instagram. Chase is Chase_Hannah1, I believe. And SC Blades.
Yep.
And James is James_Knife_Collecting, I believe. Correct?
Correct.
So I want to talk about getting into the podcast. What blade shape preferences do you have, starting with James?
Clip point and drop point.
Yeah, I like drop points and drop points and clip points are what I like. If a Tanto's done right, it can be good too, but I really prefer clip points and drop points. Warren clips are nice too, though.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Chase?
Well, I mainly like drop points. But you know how spider crows have, like, the leaf shape, kind of?
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call that.
Yeah, they call it
really,
leaf shape.
I've really gotten into those.
Really like that blade shape.
Spider crows go, like, PM2, that blade shape's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna be getting the PM2 pretty soon. I'm gonna buy what's the name of it? Go over to Amazon shopping cart. It's the Ultra Tech K18 mini keychain flashlight rechargeable 130 lumen Cree LED 2 light level plus strobe include battery and micro USB cable. So they were basically tag spamming the title, but it's a side clicky flashlight with a Cree LED, and it operates off of a 10 180 Lion battery, and it charges to 130 lumens, and it is actually smaller around than a AAA and shorter, and 130 lumens.
Nice.
So, I believe I'm going to get that, the Kershaw Method, and the PM2 all at the same time in a few weeks.
I'm looking at getting a Wright 1507 and a Spyderco Spidey Chef.
Both?
Hmm?
If you were going to pick between the two, I would go with the Spidey Chef because Reich tends to make their edges way too thick. But,
Yeah, I handled the I handled the 1507 in the night show when it was a perfect drop shot action.
Yeah, they do have really nice actions. Riot has some really nice actions too. I handled one at House of Blades in Texas. It was a really nice action.
Yeah.
So, that's a blade shapes. What are some things that really bug you about a knife? Like, say it's made pretty much perfectly, but it has some design flaws that make you dislike it a great deal.
I'm just gonna say tip down only.
Yeah, that bugs me a lot too. When Tyler was on here, for him it was right-handed only pocket clips because he's left-handed. Which I don't. Yeah. I'm not left-handed, but I see why that would be annoying. What about you, Chase?
Well, it's tip down, but you know the VDK mini goat and goat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two flaws on that knife. I love it.
Recurve.
But first of all, on the pocket clip under the pocket clip, the G10's not sanded down.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to take in and out of pocket.
Yeah.
And that's really annoying. So I had to bend out the pocket clip a little bit. And the second thing is, what?
Why didn't you take the pocket clip off, sand it down, and put it back on?
I tried, it's super Loctited in there.
Right.
That's what I hated about the Kershaw length that I have, is I couldn't even tighten the pocket clip down because it was Loctited like crazy in there, soft screws. So.
Yeah, no, I got my VDK from a blade show from him himself. Like, I handshaked it. And it's, like, super Loctite, so yeah. I can't get the screws out.
I was able to heat up the pivot on the Kershaw link enough to just take out the pivot and take it apart that way. But other than that, it was pretty much stuck shut, and I couldn't get it apart.
Oh, and the, you know how the VDK is a flipper?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's still got this grippy G10, so when you flip, if you have to do it throughout the day, it'll just, like, kind of rip your finger slowly.
What I really don't like is when you go to flip a knife, the bottom edge is sharp and digs into your hand.
Yeah,
like the Buck Marksman, I really like that mechanism, but I've heard that hurts your finger to flip sometimes.
Well, I was meaning, like, the bottom of the knife digs into the palm of your hand.
Yeah, Spyderco Positron was really bad at that.
The main knife that I have with that is a CRKT Jettison. It's not a huge deal because it's like a $20, $25, $30 knife, but it was just really annoying because you flip it like 10 times and you've got a mark in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I...
It also is really bad when the thumb stud digs into your finger.
Yeah,
on the
Kershaw injection I have, they're really sharp, and they dig into your finger. I want to unscrew the thumb studs and just sand around them and then buff it or whatever.
On my CRKT M16, the thumb studs are almost unusable just because how they're built.
Well, they're meant to be blade stops. Yeah, they really are. They're meant to be blade stops, so they don't work as well. Although... you can make knives that they're supposed to be blade stops and they work too.
Yeah, exactly.
I have the really small M16, the M16-01S.
I have the O1Z.
Is that the... does that have the lock system?
Yeah, it does, but I disabled it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get rid of because you just disassemble it, but I bought mine because it didn't have the lock system. Because I just prefer that a lot over anything else. Well,
yeah.
Just I hate the lock system. It's really annoying. Because my uncle has the one that they made for like $60 in titanium.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying to do the lock. Plus the liner is really sharp on that one. Because I made a titanium frame and then put a steel liner in instead of just putting a lock bar insert in and making a titanium frame lock.
Yeah.
Have either of you seen the Wii Double Helix?
I want to try that out.
It looked really, really interesting.
I actually had the chance. to pick it up in February, but it's skating on thin ice around Australian knife wars for gravity knives.
Okay, here's my problem with it, though. Can you guess one flaw with it that I see?
Probably, I'm just going to say, the spring being caught on something.
Or,
that's one.
There being no thumb stud.
Bingo. I don't know many people that just use their bench mates and just open them with the X slot.
Yeah, that can,
every time.
You can do that sometimes.
I'll do that. Yeah, but, like, as a main mechanism, that doesn't give, like, a full deploy. So, like, you know that, you know what I mean? That doesn't, like,
yeah,
open it up where it has. So, like, I can see there being blade play issues from not opening up hard enough.
Yeah, or if you do
possibly.
Or if you do it like that, then you end up bouncing it off the stop pin and then doing it again.
Yeah.
I just wish they'd put
still
a couple thumb studs on it, but
still a very interesting golf.
Yeah. The Wii,
well, you know, there's replaceable thumb studs you can buy for, like, $6 and put them on any knife.
The quick thumb
studs?
Yeah,
I've seen that.
I really want to buy some and put them on a Buck 112.
I was thinking about putting them on
buy
my
some
Buck 110.
What I want to do is I want to go out to my drill press, drill a hole in my 0450, thread it, then buy some thumb studs for it.
You wouldn't have to drill a hole. You could just put some on there.
Yeah, but look, it's nice as titanium and it does thumb studs, do they?
No.
True.
You'd probably buy titanium and quick ones, quick thumb studs, I'm not sure, but
possibly.
I don't know.
I like the Wii Yuka, however you pronounce it. The main thing I don't like about it is the compound grind.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's like a more expensive version of their 817 with the carbon fiber and titanium.
Yeah.
I think the Wii's I'm a fan of is the ones that have kind of an oval thumb opener. I believe it's a 617 or 618. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's one of those.
Really
that and the width.
I know it's not the 617. The 618. Google that real quick. No, neither of those have an opening hole at all.
Okay, I'll find it out before y'all keep bantering. Okay, the Sea Monster is so ugly, though.
That is.
Yeah.
I didn't really get it, but the new Civivi knives were kind of interesting.
Okay, I haven't seen any of them.
612 is cool, but it's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, we can just move on.
I kind of want
the 605.
The Wii Zeta.
That was kind of cool. It reminds me of a, who is it?
Elijah Isham?
No, Leong Mong has a knife that has an opener like that.
The Eraser? Maybe I'm thinking the wrong one.
And then there's a Riate, like the baby machine, that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm torn between getting that in February as well, because it's on sale at the website.
Never mind, I'm wrong about the Leong Ma Eraser. That doesn't even have, well, it has an opening hole, but it doesn't look like anything like it. You buy the CRKT version of it.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that the, alright, what's your opinion on the CRKT Razel?
That it's
the
over,
steel,
it's,
I don't like.
I like it, but it's overly thick.
It is.
You know they had an old version of it called the Stubby Razel?
I've actually seen that and I almost won it on a bid on eBay because I was trying to get that in a lot of like five other old knives like Cold Steel and then a few others, but I lost the bid just barely.
Oh, and damn.
I lost it like the last second somebody else took it.
Okay, am I the only one that wants a double action knife?
I want the UTX 85.
Are we talking about OTX?
Yeah.
Not like that, like a auto and manual.
Yep.
Oh.
This is not fair. Yep.
So like
I can't
have
it.
I can't
like
have an auto
theorem.
Either. I can't have an auto either because Canada is
not
just
fair.
As stupid as Australia. Actually, Australia is more stupid because you can't have spring-assisted knives except If you import any knife that's one-handed opening into Canada, they stop it at the border.
Yeah, bad. America rules. Get rich.
Yeah.
America.
I used to live in America.
Used to.
But yeah, I was thinking about getting the Microtech UTX 85.
Yeah.
In this, not this, this one in the, okay. The Tanto in Damascus with the lightning strike carbon fiber is really nice.
Yeah.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
You know how the Benchmade Phaeton
is on the side?
Yep.
The button's on the side?
Yeah, it's like a Microtech belt.
Yeah.
Kind of look. I'm going to be honest with you. I've had an Ultratech Tri-Grip and a UTX 80, or no, the Ultratech Bladeshare 2017. I had one of those. And from the blade play, because I know it's an OTF, so it's going to have some. It's going to have a little bit, but the Benchmade Phaeton is more well-built. It's more quality, in my opinion.
The Hawk.
The only Microtech I think is really cool is the SOCOM Elite.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That one's cool, but overpriced, I feel. But maybe not.
Well, it's tip down, too, only, so, like, yeah.
The, I want the G&G Hawk custom deadlock.
I love those things.
I know, and they have no blade play for an OTF.
But,
OTF. I thought you were talking about the Hawk lock, the, like, side lock.
No, I said Hawk deadlock, the OTF.
I haven't heard of that one.
Go watch, actually, I don't even know what the video is called that Blade HQ did, but it's a very nice knife.
It is.
Okay, what's your next topic?
What are your views on Quartermaster as a company?
Do you really want this in the podcast? You sure you don't want to edit it out?
I'm not going to edit it out. There's like 3 people that listen to this. Actually, I put it on my YouTube and we have like 126 subscribers, but the first one only has like 36 views or something.
Oh, that's not bad.
So fire away.
Quartermaster is utter trash.
Exactly, because they make them all in China and say they're made in the U.S.
And they're not 154cm.
They're like a cheap 440A. Not like
no, they're not even 440A.
They're 3CR13MOV.
No,
1CR24.
They're freaking surgical stainless.
I think that's like 420 stainless steel, not the 428C, which is not great by itself unless it's done by Buck. It's like 420 stainless. 420J2 is what I'm trying to say. And a lot of people list that as surgical stainless. But that's what liners on knives are usually made of.
Yeah.
But if you just read... Okay. Are either of you on Blade Forums much?
I'm a little bit, but I just look on there for knife sales. I don't really look at all the banter.
If you search Quartermaster Blade Forums, you...
Oh, I've already seen that.
Yeah, that...
You're in for a treat, buddy.
Quartermaster Officially Busted. And they have
pictures... It's called Quartermaster?
Officially Busted.
It should be called It should be called Quartermaster because it cost them a quarter to make them.
And they mastered making it for a quarter.
Yeah.
That was ripped.
The pictures, if you see them compared to the Wii knife pictures where they're actually made in Wii's factory. But they're made to low Wii specifications. Like they told them, make them bad as you can possibly make them and then ship them to us. We'll pay you $5 a piece.
Dude, Wii knives, even their worst piece would be better than that.
Yeah.
Agree.
BDK Goat.
But, like...
It's made by Wii knives, and it's genuinely great, and it's, like, $80.
But they literally had Wii make them probably to the lowest specifications. Because if you watch a picture, their shop where they're supposedly making them in the U.S., there are marks on the walls in the identical places where they are in the Wii manufacturing facility.
Oh, have you seen that Chris Reeve shop factory tour? He's got a Spyderco.
Yes.
He has one on his shelf.
I saw the part one. I didn't see the part two, really.
It's in part one.
Oh, I just didn't catch it then.
In part two, his wife takes over.
Yeah. Tim Reeve, I think, officially runs the company, and then his wife just technically owns it.
Well, she's like the figurehead of the company, but Tim Reeve is the actual guy.
Do you want to go over my Amazon
cart? Because we can't have ladies running businesses, am I right?
Yep. So I'm going to go over my Amazon cart, because that's a good topic.
We don't have Amazon over here.
You have amazon.com.au.
Yeah, but they don't sell anything. It's, like, useless.
Oh.
Okay, how is it Amazon, then, if it can't ship to the Amazon, and it says from A to Z, but it won't go to Australia? And that's only an A. Boom roasted.
But I'm going to go over my cart. I'm not going to pronounce it. It's the R-U-I-K-E. I'm not going to pronounce it Rake, because that's not how you spell it. I'm going to pronounce it Ruik. Not going to pronounce it Rike, because there's another company called that, but Ruik.
Do you want to just say right?
What?
Just say ready to make it.
I'm not.
Because that's what they say.
So the ready to make it P801, the Kershaw method, the Ultimate Pack, K18, the Spyderco Paramilitary 2, then my save for later, Kershaw Tan Fraction Folding Pocket Knife, HDR13 MOV Steel Clip Point Blade Sheet and Handle with Carbon Fiber Overlay, KVT Manual Open Insert Liner Lock, Reversible Deep Carry Pocket Clip 1.9 ounces. I have the Boker Excalibur 1 Carbon Fiber Knife with 3.5-inch blade, the Spyderco Para 3, the Benchmade Bug Out, and the Weehaw Torx Pen Handle Storage Micro Bit Set 7-piece.
Mm.
Okay, the Para 3 and the Bug Out are amazing.
The PM2, the PM2 is so good, though.
I'm telling you, the Para 3 got me back into Spydercos.
I know, but I had the PM2 loaned to me for like 2 weeks to review it. I kind of prefer that one a little bit.
I've handled the PM2 and PM3, but I prefer the size of the PM2.
I feel like it'll also this is by hashtag bias, but it'll have a more free action because of the heavier blade length heavier blade weight because it's longer.
Yeah.
Y'all want to go? Or make me go get my Para 3 and show you the action?
Sure.
Sure.
It won't show your stream, though.
No.
Yeah, no. We're not streaming this, though. I'm going to edit it and then...
Put it on a podcast.
Yeah. So, but what I was looking at in the cart, that's basically what I have in the cart there. I do have, like, a bunch of knife new stuff, because if we get too deep into Quartermaster, it'll just last forever.
How about that Strider?
Let's not actually get into that. That's very, very controversial.
No, it's not controversial at all. Mick Strider is a piece of trash.
I'm not actually going to edit that out. Free speech in America. But, yeah.
Okay.
I'll put a disclaimer in the description, like, anything said here in this podcast is not meant to be taken seriously, and it's not meant to harm any individuals or entities of any kind.
Except the
snowflakes. Liberal snowflakes are not humans.
Okay, so I'm gonna go into knife news. Okay, so on the topic of knife news, I wanted to talk about, first of all, Canal Street Cutlery is back. They closed in 2015 and are back in business now, which is pretty, I'm pulling all of this information from knifenews.com, of course.
Okay, I've known this for a while. You know Red Hill Cutlery?
No, I do not, actually.
if you look up Red Hill Cutlery, my uncle showed me this because he's like a traditional. It's like he loves poker and stuff, so like traditional knives. But if you look on Red Hill Cutlery, even months ago, 2 months ago, he showed me this. They have Canal Street. They were back in business like 3 months ago. They make like 4 knives in a day.
That's not very many.
No, but back when they first reopened, that's how many they made.
Mm.
But I actually have one, and I can tell you, they're amazing traditionals if you like traditionals.
I'm not a big fan.
I'm not...
Well, I don't like traditionals, but, like, I don't know, they're pretty cool.
I'm not super...
Is it bad, but I've never owned a 110?
Yeah.
Who are you?
You need to at least try a 110 or 112. You need to at least try one.
Never even handled one.
They're not necessary.
They sell them in Walmart.
Yeah, for...
There's no Walmart. Yeah, there's no such thing as Walmart over there.
Right, there's only Austria Mart.
You paid $75 for the Ruick P801, right?
Yeah, because I had the money at the time and I couldn't be bothered waiting for shipping. And I was over in New Zealand, and they had it in a shop over there, so I thought I'd buy it just as a little
Still,
souvenir
the,
kind of thing.
I was looking on the Amazon in Australia, and the Tenacious is $100, and converted, that's like
yeah.
70 US.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus it costs like bad. 39 here, and 39 hashtag hot take is still overpriced for the Tenacious.
Yeah.
James, it's I can sad. Tell you. You know how I have my Benchmade grip up for sale?
Yeah.
I'm in the grip, I'm good.
Aw. I was gonna say, I can sell it to you for 80 and then just add shipping to that.
Yeah, but shipping's gonna be like $40.
Yeah, that's 120 US.
Cheap?
Yeah, 120 US. Convert that, like 180, 190 Australian. I could already buy a grip. Because I can buy a grip for that price on eBay.
eBay.
Yeah, eBay. That's the main buying center for Australian knife nuts.
Yeah. That probably sucks.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
When we visit friends in the States or whatever, I wait and I save up a bunch of money and buy stuff when I go down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
good idea.
That way they cost like
half I've just got to save up and come over to the US.
Let me see how much a Tenacious is on Amazon.ca. They're not as outrageous as the US, but.
And here, for me, I can find the Amazon Tenacious anywhere for $35.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Amazon.ca.
The cheapest I've seen a Tenacious for over here on eBay is $55.
Wow.
Here on Amazon.ca, the cheapest price is $71.87 for a Tenacious.
Dude, I'm just going to buy all the knives I ever want here, then just move to Australia and sell a bunch of them and make a ton of profit.
I spent $133 on my Manix 2 when Tenacious is over here or
$100. Wow. That's a amount of money.
Okay, can y'all hear any of that? Y'all heard none of that, right?
Did you see the Hinderer and Tad Dauntless kind of collaboration thing? They made a Tad Dauntless.
No, I didn't.
Hinderer made a Tad Dauntless.
I don't know what Tad Dauntless is.
I didn't really, and right, well, I kind of had an idea of what it was. Triple Aught Design is what Tad is, and it's,
right.
It's a custom knife that was made more than a decade earlier. The new production version incorporates some changes and blends Hinderer's build quality with the iconic Dauntless design.
Right.
Alright, it looks... guys, it's been fun, but I gotta go.
Okay, well... hope everybody enjoyed this podcast. We're having to cut it a bit short. We're going to quickly shout out our social media. Where can they find you, Chase?
Chase underscore Hannah 1 and SC Blades underscore 01.
And where can I find you, James?
James underscore knife underscore collecting.
And I am Blackwood underscore Blades on Instagram and Blackwood Blades on YouTube. Hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we will see you next time. Bye.